All right, Matthew's Gospel 28, let's share something this morning. You ready? Let's hold our hands together. Our Father, name of your Son Jesus, this morning, as we are prayed, we receive insight into your word. We see Jesus alone and nothing else. Together as a church, we behold Jesus, your Son, as he sees us in him. He's glorified and we are edified. Amen. I want to share with us supernatural every day. The supernatural every day. A lot of times, many of us see the supernatural part of Christianity as something that occurs occasionally. You know, a great program or a great man of God. Something like that. But it ought not to be like that. Matthew's Gospel 28 and verse 18. Praise the Lord. Jesus came and said unto them, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth, or in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, I want you to look at the last words. Now, let's quickly say some things in the background. It says, go and teach all nations. Now, when you say, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth, if you have been coming for all the teaching meetings, you know what heaven and earth means now. Praise the Lord. I hope you know what it means now. When you find heaven and earth used together, you know what it means. In other words, he's talking about the new creation, what you can call the temple of God. That's what he's referring to. Heaven and earth refers, heaven and in earth refers to that union of God and man. And that's the authority that Jesus now has. In other words, God's dream in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, is now fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus. And so just like we have the physical marriage, where you have a husband and wife coming together and they're referred to as one flesh, which is obvious to us now that that statement has to do with our union with God, because our husband and wife is actually not one flesh in reality. They're actually two fleshes, sometimes three fleshes. But in you know what, three fleshes, yo, come on, you know, what kind of grammar is that? Yo. It's an interpretation of scripture from the medieval era. Three fleshes. So basically what he's saying is God's union with us, heaven and earth. And where we have Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. We said that's the temple and God's plan and purpose. And the Spirit of God seeking to dwell in man is verse 2. Verse 3, God said, let there be light. That means God will dwell in the hearts of sinners who believe in the gospel of his Son. We've done that study already, and we're doing more. All right, where were we? So, verse 19, and it says, go and teach all nations, better still, make disciples, which is to make disciples of every nation. We said the word disciple is the word mathetes, a pupil, a learner, or an apprentice. When you say an apprentice, someone who is learning from someone else. And so let's give a background to that. Jesus, by saying you should make apprentice of him, you should apprentice of what? Or apprentices of what? What kind of student are we to become? Now, if it's about his career, that means all believers will be carpenters. You know, and now, in the legal profession, we often say, if you are not a lawyer, you're a carpenter. You don't know what that means, right? You just, yeah, I'm like Jesus, something like that. So, he says, if it was about being an apprentice of a profession, that means all believers will be carpenters, because Jesus was a carpenter. He was not just a carpenter's son, he was actually a carpenter. But that wasn't what he was saying. Make a disciple. Now, in the Jewish culture, when a child is about 6, 7, he is put under a trainer who teaches him it's a culture they adopt, teaches him the Torah. That's the first five books of Moses. And then he begins to learn what they call the ways of God. One of the things he learns is that by the time he's 12, he should be able to quote the Old Testament, precisely the first five books, verbatim. And so that was a training that they now call him a disciple. So, and also he learns a lot of things. He stays under his trainer and he learns his ways, he learns his values, he learns precisely the scriptures. So it wasn't a strange development in Luke's Gospel 2 when we found Jesus in the temple with the doctors of the law and the teachers, where he was asking them questions and they were astonished at his understanding. It wasn't a strange development. That's the way they trained their children. And I told you also, you discover that they didn't have children's church. You know, they didn't have youth ministry. Everyone listened to the same stuff. No matter your age. And I've always had a problem with that because I grew up learning Christianity amongst elderly men. I started attending ministers' conferences from my junior secondary school. I'm not saying youth conference. I've never attended a youth conference in my entire life. So, come on! Come. Are you ready? Woo! Never had a youth conference in my life. I've gone to ministers' conferences. In fact, in my final year in the secondary school, I was to write my mathematics exam. It was a Tuesday. So there was a missionary conference going on at a church in town. I was in boarding house. So I did my first paper in the morning, went for the conference, then came back for my second paper. That's how crazy we were. So I can't fathom when you say you want to have a youth ministry. I don't know what you're talking about because it doesn't make any sense. And I know very well that young people only learn what you teach them. If you teach them God's word, they will know God's word. It's not a question of, you know, some say the millennials. It's not just millennials, it's centenarians. God's word doesn't change. So I said earlier that Jesus Christ obviously was that way when he was 12. Now, in the commission he gave to them right now in Matthew 28, he says, make disciples. So the question is, make disciples of what? Now, like I have said to us, if you read the four accounts on the life of Jesus, you're going to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the four I know. Now, I thought you lost that, right? Now, Matthew has 28 chapters. 28. The very first chapter is basically about the prophecies of his birth and then the history of his earthly family. Only the second chapter captures when he was born, those who came to greet them, etc., etc. Now, Mark doesn't give you that account. Mark starts straight away with John the Baptist, Jesus, and all of that. Luke gives you the same kind of account. Luke 1 and 2, the prophecies before his birth, where he was born, how he grew, and just a few stories, you know. John doesn't even give you any side comments. In the beginning was the Word. How about that? The Word was with God and the Word was God. 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So let's continue the story. So if you were to learn about Jesus, what are you likely to learn about him? His ministry. Because from chapter 3 of Matthew through to chapter 28, all you learn about is Jesus the servant. How he served, how he taught, how he preached, and how he lived as God's son, as God's servant. That's all you are going to know.
So, if today you say, I want to be like Jesus in my life, in my life, and you cry, and all the tears go, in my life, oh Lord, oh Lord. And after the service, you get into your car, and you go and watch Chelsea. But you cannot say all of that and then think it ends there. How do you become like Jesus? What was he doing? What was he doing? Jesus went about preaching and teaching the gospel and winning men to believe the gospel, to believe in the kingdom of God. That was what he was doing. His entire life was in preaching, teaching, praying amongst men. So you cannot be like Jesus without service. That's all you have. We don't know how he used to eat. Maybe he was a left hand, right hand person. Maybe he used fork and knife, cutlery. We don't know all of that. What we know is that he used to preach the gospel. He used to teach the gospel. He used to heal the sick. He raised the dead. He confronted the religious leaders of his day. And he glorified the Father. That's what we know about him. So, if you are a Christian and Jesus is your model, the question is, how are you following him? It is not possible to be a follower of Christ without the ministry of Christ. It is impossible. And Jesus wasn't just a good guy who ensured that those who were not hungry had food. You know, people think that's it. As long as I go to people who don't have food and give them food, that is Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. That even if you are not a Christian, if you do that, you are doing Jesus Christ. Yeah. How come those he gave food asked him to be crucified? You get that? That wasn't what he was doing. Yeah, that he did that. But that wasn't the primary thing he was doing. So, you ask yourself, how Christian are you? The answer is, how serving are you? That's how to answer that question. So, when he says, make disciples of every nation, it means that he wants every one of us to be in his ministry. Every one of us. He wants each and every one of us to be in his ministry. That's the way to be like Jesus. And when you see Christians, permit me to use that, who are not involved in the ministry of Jesus Christ, they are oftentimes irresponsible Christians. And I say it that way without apologies. Because they have no responsibility to anybody. And there's no way the Word of God will grow in your life without the sense of ministry or ministering. That's what the Word of God is. God became a man to serve man. That's the content of the gospel. Praise the Lord. Like I've said to you many times. You see, when a church, a local assembly, begins to give you side attractions, you know, and I say this oftentimes in Bible schools and among ministers, that in the time of Jesus, there was a whole lot of entertainment. There was a whole lot. Music wasn't created 400 years ago. There was comedy, there was dance, there was drama, there was theater. You need to go check history.
How come he never made that a ministry? How come he didn't try to win people with those things? So when you see a local assembly utilizing things like that, they are distracting you from Christ. It's a distraction. It's a huge distraction. They are distracting you from Christ. Hallelujah. So, let's get back to what we're talking about. Now, in verse 19, when it says, make disciples, you can actually put it as train ministers. Train servants. Because now you're a son. In the new birth, as you get born again, alright, when you receive the gospel, you are God's son. John 1:12, the promise was, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In John 21, in verse 17, say, go say to my disciples, I ascend to my Father and my God. He says, say to them that I go to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. So that already brings us in union with God. We are God's children. Praise the Lord. Say, I'm a son of God. Say like him, I'm a son of God. That is who you are in Christ. You're a son of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, verse 15. But the spirit of adoption, hereby we cry, Abba, Father. 16. And the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So you are a son of God. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings ever in Christ Jesus, who chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Verse 5, he predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. So we are God's children. 1 John 3 and 1, he says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. So that's the fact of the new creation. That is the fact of the new birth. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the word of God. In fact, in 2 Peter 1:3, it says, you have been refathered or fathered in the resurrection. You have been fathered in the, or refathered actually. That means you were with the devil, now you are with God. You have been refathered by the Spirit of God. So, you are God's son. You are God's son already. Now, so what now happens? Do I grow to be a sonner son of God? Allow my grammar. No, what then is spiritual growth? Spiritual growth is not to become more sonny. You are already a son. So spiritual growth is when you are being made a disciple. What does that mean? Just like Jesus the Son is now found Jesus the servant. He was the Son, but he died as a servant. He saved us as a servant. The Savior Jesus is the servant Jesus. That's why we call him a servant king. A suffering servant king. And that's the only way you can say that you are his disciple. By being a servant. Matthew 20 verse 28. The Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve and to give himself a ransom for many. That is how to be his disciple. So that's core, but that's not my subject this morning. In verse 20 now, Matthew 28, it says, teaching them to observe what things soever I have commanded you, Matthew 28:20. It says, and lo, I am with you always until the end of the world. So when it says, I am with you always, that drives you to verse 18 all over again. All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. In heaven and in earth. We said that is the temple of God.
So when he says, "Lo, I am with you always," in 20, he's just saying what he said in 18. I am with you always, heaven and in earth. I am with you always. Now, when we say that, and he says, "I am with you always," it's not an imaginary fact. Imaginary fact. It's not something that we are guessing. His words are true. His words are real. Now, imagine if you were with Jesus that day when he says, "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." And then, according to Luke's gospel, Luke 24, and then Acts 1, as soon as he said that, Mark gives us that kind of idea, but John doesn't give us that idea at all. Matthew doesn't give us that idea. But Mark gives us the idea that when he said that, he went to the right hand of God. Mark 16:19. Luke gives the same impression, or gives the same account. And in Acts of the Apostles, Luke said he vanished out of their sight. He was taken up right by a cloud right before their sight. So, if you were in that place and Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age," and the next thing he does is you don't see him again, it looks somehow. Assuming he said, "Lo, I'm with you always," then he stays with you. It makes sense. But if he leaves your sight, then it means it is driving home a vital truth of Christianity. Because when he said, "I'm with you always," he actually wasn't found with them anymore. If you know what I mean by that. So, what was he referring to? "Lo, I am with you always, till the very end." In other words, Jesus is speaking supernaturally. He's speaking supernaturally. "I'm with you always." Supernatural. Now, wouldn't it be very odd for a believer to start praying, "Oh Lord, come down and manifest your power"? Is that that Jesus didn't tell us the truth? "Come down, come down." In fact, I was in one meeting one time, and this guy said, "Let us pray." He said, "Last week," or university then, he said, "Last week, God said he could not manifest in our midst because we did not allow him to enter. That we need to enter, you know, we need to allow God to enter into our midst." Now, I cannot still allow that because it depends on where it's entering from. But then the guy went ahead and said, "You know what? But before we go ahead," he said, "let us cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus." It was the blood of Jesus. So all those ceremonies or rituals, they darken your understanding. Blood of Jesus. I was surprised. I watched a program in a church, well, just a clip anyway, in America. And as soon as the preacher said, "The blood of Jesus," I heard the audience, most of them were not blacks, said, "Blood of Jesus." I said, "Ah," I said, "see impact." Our people have gotten there. They scream, "Blood of Jesus." I said, "What? You got a hold of that too?" So the man said, "Let us cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. We are about to enter the territory of the devil." I said, "Eh?" I just packed my Bible. It was bad enough that we said God is not here. We now want to go inside. God is not here. You want us to go inside the tent? Let me go back and to my hostel. Let me go and watch something else. You know, don't. Because the longer you stay in places like that, the dull your understanding. If you stay around a lie enough, long enough, you begin to reason with it. And it makes sense. You look at it very well. You know, even though God is inside us, we need a manifestation. So it needs to stay common. You know, you begin to reason with stupidity. Because you have heard it long enough. Anything you stay with long, you begin to develop a conviction around it. Hallelujah. So that impression, we say, let us ask God. So I pray today as I go, Lord, be with me. Let me tell you another one. Go before me. That looks very, very humble. Lord, you will go before me. Before I get there, I'll meet you there. You kind of think you are being sanctimonious in your prayers. He never said he will go before you. He said he will be with you. Hallelujah. Do you believe him? He said, I'll be with you. You know, he put no conditions. He didn't say, you know, it is my desire to be with you always. However, you know, it was a full stop. Always till the very end. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. That is why that is God's marriage with us. Whatever God has joined together. That is not a marital vow in a marriage ceremony. No. That is God's commitment in this marriage with us. Whatever God has joined together. Let no man put asunder. Because people didn't understand that. I remember a lady who called me about her elder sister, older sister both, and said, the older sister was being maltreated by the husband. And that he beats her like somebody engaged in spiritual warfare. Beats her regularly. Said, I don't know what can be done, sir. I said, when she's dead, I'll tell you. What kind of question is that? Someone's beating you and you don't know what to be done. Even Jesus said, when you are in the mountain and you hear in the city, say, don't go back there. That is persecution. What would you say is happening to you? Is it for the gospel's sake? No. I said, she will die. And the man will repent later. I was there, and he has changed though. She has also changed because she has gone to glory. So, but the Bible says, whatever God has joined together, let no man put us under. Did God join them together? Praise the Lord. It's because of lack of interpretation of scripture. Now, in no way am I projecting that people should have divorce. That's not what I'm saying. But there are instances. It's not a divorce. It just means to run for your life. Immediately. Go! You guys say, I'm sorry. But that sorry has a black mark on your face. You say, I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. No, it's the marks of beating. You have an animal in the house. You are keeping a wild animal as a pet. And it's not good. Wild animals should be in the zoo. You are keeping a wild, you know, that's a wild animal. Normal animals will play with you. But wild ones will bite you. So if you have a man who slaps you, that is a wild animal. Amen. Where do you put wild animals? In the zoo. That man is not a husband. He's an animal that should be in the zoo. Why are you all quiet? You are afraid there are many zoos. What in the world are you doing that to a woman for? Praise the Lord. So whatever God has joined together is the indwelling presence of God. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Let nothing, the Greek says, put us under. That means even in death, God's presence is forever with us. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. I don't do counseling. Let me go back to that because you think I just say it casually. I don't do counseling for people who are beating them. Though I got one recently. It was a woman. He said, sir, after he slapped me, he brought out knife. I said, what did you do? He said, I ran. I said, God bless you. She brought out knife. Hey! And they're both speaking in tongues. And both of them were showing me the marks on their bodies that they didn't want to cut. Are they interesting? Oh my God. Praise the Lord. Don't let me turn to a marriage teaching this morning. I'm very practical, though. I'm extremely practical. Straight away. There are some other things I was going to say that we do in this church. But not now. If we find things like out, we have a special ministry for you. It is of the word of God. But I won't tell you. Amen. You want to know it? You are curious. Why are you saying yes, sir? Are you beating somebody? When I find out, you will know it personally. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Where was I? Oh, God has joined together. See where we went. And you are all happy. Oh, go, Papa. Go deeper. Alright, so if he says he's with you, then that's what he means. So, which means that absolute fact of Christianity is that the Savior is with us. And he said, always. So, he's not with me physically, in the sense of the way I will touch this pulpit now. No. He's with me in the spirit. So when we say in the spirit, don't let your mind go too far. As you are seated here right now, what makes you you is not this physical body. As you're seated here now. That's why people die, right? And their bodies are here. How come their bodies are here? And you say, they are dead, and you're looking at their bodies right now, you say, they are no more there. Where did they go? That means there is a part of man that is spirit or spiritual. So when we say, he's with you in the spirit, don't imagine I'm referring to somewhere spooky. No. That's why it's vital that you realize that man is a spiritual being. Man is a spiritual being. Seeing a person physically is not seeing the person totally. I mean, look at this. Even in everyday interactions. Somebody can look at you and say, good morning. And because of the person's sake, you begin to smile. And while you are smiling, in your mind, you are saying, who knows what is in his mind now? And you are both smiling to yourselves, but there's no smile in your heart. Solomon says that, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you already know, even by normal interactions, that physical appearances does not show what a man is. So a man is more of the hidden man. There's a hidden man. In 1 Peter 3, 4, Peter says, don't let your beauty be just the outward appearance of the wearing of good apparels and gold. He says, but of the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. He calls it the hidden man of the heart. The hidden man of the heart. Hallelujah. That's why, I mean, Solomon, you know, he said, beauty can deceive. Solomon should know. No matter how bad your choices are, if you have 1,000 women, they all cannot be ugly. Even if you have bad choices. Now, he also said, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. He should know. Those are things exclusive to his own revelation. So, it's a fact that you cannot be carried away by beauty. You cannot be carried away by people's physical appearances. So, there is a man that is not seen physically. And so, when we say the spirit, we are referring to the unseen part of you. So, when Jesus says, lo, I am with you, always. He's not expecting to look at your head or your shoes or the clothes you wear. Hallelujah. Look at John 14. Glory to God. Say the Savior is with me. Say Christ is with me. Hallelujah. You know, you are not saying it for him to do it. You are saying it because that's the reality. So in John's Gospel chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And I've told you many times that when the truth of Scripture is misinterpreted, when a scripture is misinterpreted, a major truth often is lost. A good number of believers believe that when he said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If I don't say, I told you, I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am there you may be also. Now, this is the challenge of reading scriptures in piecemeals. What you think, what many folks thought he was talking about was that, don't worry, I'm going somewhere, and when I get to that place, I'll give you a big mansion. As a younger Christian, I used to believe that. In my Father's house, there are many mansions there. In my Father's house, you know that song? Happy, happy, happy we shall be. Everybody's waiting for the mansions. A dear sister, who was the leader of a fellowship I used to attend then. Very wonderful sister. Everything she does is by the Spirit. If she's going to pick a clothes to wear, dress, she said the Spirit chose the dress for her. And when you see the dress, you know it is the Spirit that chose it. It takes a spirit to match this kind of colors. But I dared not say anything there. Eh? What do you know about Jesus? So one time like that, she told us she died. That she... You know, when people often die these days and come back, they see all sorts of things. Have you had this experience before that you had maybe malaria or fever and you didn't take food for a long time? You know, you see things. I've seen a lion walk into the room before. I've not eaten for days. I said, mommy, lion. If you know my mom very well, those of you that know her now, she is now a new creature. She has the injection right there. I said, lion. She just put it in my mouth. She killed the lion. So, why people oftentimes say that they died like that and they came back, what do you think they say? They say rubbish. People often say rubbish. You don't need to die to have a vision. Stay alive. And when you come back like that, eat. Lazarus rose from the dead. He had no testimony. Jairus' daughter. He said, come and tell us, what did you saw? What did you see, saw? Brethren. Brethren. So people lined up like this. And they were queuing up to enter into the gate. Didn't he allow them? Only two people in white. Said they killed up. That means in the whole world, you saw 100 people. Something is wrong with you. It's movies that you have watched. And you have a nightmare. You know? So she told us that she went to heaven. As she got in there, a shop, a small shop was what she got. As she was saying that, I said, small shop with all this spirit life. I looked at myself. If you enter, just be satisfied with staying in the bus stop. If this sister can be in a shop. So she went ahead, she told us the story ever. She said it was not painted. At that point, we are not using our brain. It was not painted. She said there was no roof. Why now? I said, I was thinking. Sister, so doesn't have roof. No paint. Shop. I said, well, I just told myself, last. She shall loves me. She will allow me to stay in her shop. Because I'm very sure I won't get any house. There's no point deceiving myself. So she now said, if she had stopped there, I would have believed it. Like one guy Ekiti? They didn't see him for days. He said, Sahare, where did you go? He said, I was in the thick forest. So we'll give them salacious stories. He said, I was in the thick forest. So what did you do? He said, I met one lion. He said, He said, we began to fight. We were fighting. I threw me down. We said, you are powerful, oh. You are powerful, oh. He said, as the thing threw me down, I just grabbed the horn. He said, If you didn't see a lion, you got a goat. You know, if he had stopped, the story would have been believable. But lions don't often stop. So if she had stopped there, I would have believed it. Shop. Many of us don't even reason. Why would God, let's even assume the story is any true. Why would he build for you a 300 story building? For what? Are you an octopus? You are covetous on earth. You still want to, you alone. Even today, if you stay in a flat alone, and you are there for eternity with nobody, you are bored. You now want 300 rooms. Even if you are an octopus, one leg here, one leg there, how many can you occupy? So she said that. She said, it now began to rain. Eh? This is sorry. It began to rain. I said, Even normal aeroplane. If we go to an height, we go above rain. Sister Soswaso did not leave the earth. But I didn't say publicly, I just said, Rain how? She wanted to paint the story bad. There was rain on her head back by heaven. But she was suffering. That you better be careful. You, particularly you. That's me. You like movies and music. You'll be dancing crazy legs and running man all over the place. I've told you, if you don't hold on to your faith, that MC Hammer you used to dance will take you to hellfire. Because I like MC Hammer. MC Hammer was the angel of Satan that buffeted me. I'm Michael Jackson. I like Michael Jackson. Amen. First, is he born again? Are you born again? You know, people have that idea. But what was Jesus saying? When he says, in my Father's house, the word house is oikia, family, household. In my Father's household is used for a family. There are many mansions. Even normal grammar will tell you there cannot be a mansion in a house. There are many mansions. The word mansion is an old Greek word, mone. Mone is a place that people occupy in order to continue their journey or continue their work. So it means a place where you stay to continue your activities. It's not a place of inactivity. It's a place where you stay to continue your activities. So Jesus was talking about an event of his resurrection. There are many places where I will continue my place of activities. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, the word prepare a place, I told you there are two words. There's one that means, okay, we have this auditorium just like we're going to do in a couple of weeks. We want to extend it, alright, and then have another extension of this place. That is, we're preparing a place. But that's not the word he uses. The Greek word he uses is the word eitomazo, which means that inside the same building, you will create a space. Inside the same space. Just like I said, oh, can you create a space for someone to sit here? That means make room. Make room. So the question should be, what is the Father's house? Where does the Father stay? What is the Father's family? Jesus himself is the Father's house. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
There are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you in me. So that where I am, there you may be also. Listen, brothers and sisters. Don't allow what I'm saying just become something you have in your mind, in your head. Let it be what is real to you. It's real to me. Hallelujah. There are some songs I can't sing with you. No matter how you try. Because it's not real to me. I can't sing it with you. It's not real to me. There are some prayers you pray. I can't say amen because it's not real to me. I'm not guessing it. Jesus is the Father's house. And so when he said that, I go to prepare a place for you. So that where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. I believe him. I said, I believe him. I said, I believe him. In verse 16, I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Allos parakletos in the Greek. Another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. See it now? That he may abide with you forever. I will pray the Father, John 14:16, that he may abide with you forever. So he has chosen two words. The first one is the word mone, to stay in a place and continue your activities. Now it says that he may abide with you forever. The word abide there means to exist with you. It is the same word in Matthew 28:20. I am with you. Now pay attention now. If you go to the Old Testament, that is the translation of the Hebrew word Yahweh. I am that I am. So when God was saying, I am that I am, it means I will exist with you. Jesus is the one, you know, I told you that Jewish scholars agree that you don't, that Yahweh, they just spell it YHWH. They said, why? They said, they don't want to put vowels because they don't want to pronounce it. It's too allowed. In fact, a friend of mine, who is a Jewish scholar, said to me that in ancient Jewish writings, when they get to that name, they stop. I used to think it was a fable. He said, no. They stop and go have a bath to write the name. What awe. But Jesus came and put vowels in the name. I am with you. He is the fulfillment of God's promise. I am with you. I am with you. Ego am I. In the Greek, I am. That's why in the four Gospels, he will say, I am the bread of life. His audience knew what he was saying. I am the way. I am the truth. He was using the name of God personally. You know, one time he was teaching, and the audience said, this one is teaching differently. Matthew 7:28. He's speaking as one that has authority. He's not speaking about somebody else. He has personalized the Jewish writings. He has personalized the Holy Scriptures. He's talking about himself. So he said, I am with you. In other words, he's saying, the God who appeared to Moses, the one who took Israel through the journey, he's now tabernacled with you. Hallelujah. So in John 14, that he may abide with you forever, is that he may exist with you. That he, the I am, may be found with you forever. Someone say forever.
Forever.
What's forever? What is forever? Think about it. What is forever? It means forever. Hallelujah. It means forever. That's God's commitment. You are never, you see, I know we say lovely things. I will love you forever. Jesus, I love you forever. It's good to have that commitment. But you see, the forever commitment is with God. He's the one that has the forever commitment to you. That he may abide with you forever. 17, look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not. You know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be where? In you. Hallelujah. How true is that today? I said, how true is that today? How true is that today? He's in me now. He's in me now. You know, if I say someone is with you, maybe you are together in the car. Maybe you are together in the car. Or you are together in the seats. He's by you. But when I say he's in you, that means I only lack words to say you cannot be found separate. Or separated. The little while he says, the world will see me. No more. He said, but you see me because I leave you, leave also. I will not leave you comfortless, he says. I will come to you. I will come to you. In that day, John 14:20. Hallelujah. Let's read that together. Come on. In that day, What else? And I were in you. We're in that day. I said, we're in that day now. We're in that day now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. He's in you now. He's in you now. Glory to God. He's in you now. He's in you now. And it says always. So if he's in me, that means I have a supernatural life. Just by being born again, I have a supernatural life. I usually share this. And I'll keep saying it till it dawns on you. I know some of you understand it already. I don't fear evil. No. I don't fear voodoo. Not at all. And one of the ways I learned not to fear it. Was a very funny experience I had. Now, this is very personal to me, but I've shared it before. As a younger Christian who wasn't exactly serious, you know, a woman once confessed openly, well, not being openly, but privately to certain people, and said, she put something that was voodoo in my meal to make me either die or run mad or stuff like that. She said she did it 3 times. And it never affected me. Now, and I thought about it. I wasn't praying against it. No one was telling me, begin to pray over your food. In fact, that's why you need to convince me today to pray over food. You need to do that. I pray over food to thank God, but not to annul the effect of the power of darkness. I want to eat it like that. So, that on its own, I had not learned anything so intricate about the believer's authority. Not at all. The same way, the first time I got healed of a terminal case, I didn't know so much. If I didn't know anything, I only really knew a song. That's it. So, now, I understand what happened. Of a couple of times, what happens to most of us is we're too conscious of the power of the devil. We're too conscious. I had to tell someone one day, I said, stop watching all these movies. Subtly in your mind, you will be accepting the power of the devil. See, there's nothing you see that is neutral. Stop watching them. Rather than watch a movie that talks about somebody, they call his name in a mirror. Chagu! Oh! Ah! They got him. Why? You believe it. So sometimes an ordinary dream, you are afraid. You're already afraid. Then you wake up. A man told me, he slept. And in the dream he saw the wife was a snake. I used to respect that man until that dream. Say, I saw a snake, a big python, after 4 children. Who are grown up. 2 of them were married. Then she has become a snake. Shouldn't you be grateful for that kind of snake? And you are comfortable, though. But because he had been reading some magazines, Python Spirit, Serpentine Manifestation, he now had a dream and said, what do I do? Kill the snake now and see what the government will do to you. Nonsense. He already had developed a Satan consciousness. Jesus didn't say, be aware of the devil. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo! Look at the devil. No! Lo! I am with you. The Greek word there, in Matthew 28:20, the word orao means keep looking at it and perceive it very well. Which means, if there is a fact, you should feed on your mind all the time. Is that Christ is in you. It's not for this service. He said, hey, thank you, Pastor, for that word. I was really blessed. Okay, it's not just for this service. When you get home, when you are driving home, or you are being driven, or both, say to yourself, Christ is in me. Let that dawn on you. There's no weakness in you. Christ is in me. Let that dawn on you. One of my aunts said, she called me. She said, a grand hand. Said, She was a preacher. She's late now. She said, they call, they said they have your voice recorded. They have your ear. I said, should I give them my ear? I said, I can donate my blood. Those things, I don't even think about it. I'm untouchable for the devil. Because greater is he that is in me. Have that at the back of your mind. You should be that conscious. That conscious. Lord, I'm with you. So you were born into a supernatural family and a supernatural life. Feed your mind consistently on this. Consistently on this. What comes out of your mind first? Fear or faith? Fear. I told you the story. I gave you the details. My first crusade. Well, not my first crusade, but my first kind of crusade like that. A couple of years ago. About 25 years. And we got to the place and they came to scare us. I didn't even know what it was because I was coming from Lagos. So I didn't understand how somebody would wear half clothes and then looking at you and smiling. I didn't understand. I said, what kind of grace? Ah, those are the mothers of the day. I said, eh. Yeah. So we went to pray. We had different manifestations before the crusade. We all slept and woke up having the same dream. We all saw monkeys in our dream. Everybody, brothers and sisters and in between. Everybody. Ah. So I said to myself, from here to Lagos is far. But I can start walking now. How can I come? And I told myself, why can I come all the way? We came to preach the gospel now. Why should somebody be appearing to us in the dream? What is it? It's not the good news. So I was to preach, which I was the one who preached the next day. And that is how they brought someone who had been crippled. Until that day, I had never, I've seen the cripple walk before, but not me praying for them. I've never seen it before. So it was such a strange thing. It now became a test. You are making mouths. Because I was really, I used to listen to it, I'd be shamed back then, so I used to shout. So I was shouting, I'm telling you something, Jesus Christ. And he said, oh God, come. So as I laid hands on that little girl, in my head, I was looking at the backstage. How do I jump out of this place? You know, those experiences shaped me. How do I go out of this place? If I go to the back now, and I just... How did we get into this village again? Okay, I digress. Anyway, I'll get into the bush. Somehow I'll just come out and... How much is in my pocket? If I get... So when I was in Jesus' name, my mind was elsewhere. But the girl began to walk. That's as I opened my eyes, I said, yes! I'm telling you something. Why? It is good to experience the supernatural. He gets you bolder next time. Next time. It's good to have people pray for you. And they pray for you. And they pick the phone. I prophesy over your life. It's good. But it's time for you to know that he didn't say, I am with your pastor all the time. He said, I'm with you. Hallelujah. I'm with you always. I'm with you always. Till the end of the age. So there's a supernatural day that is every day. Every day. Choose to live supernaturally every day. Let it start with what you see. He said, lo, I'm with you. It's an instruction. An instruction. Behold, I'm with you. How can someone who leaves your sight tell you to behold something? That means behold it in my word. Learn to believe God's word above human testimonies. That's why I said, watch what you listen to. Watch it. There are times to put off the television. There are sometimes, yesterday, I was unconsciously listening to a program, and so they were talking about how this disease, that disease, I just put the TV off, boom! I want to hear about healing. I know diseases kill, but there's a greater fact. The power of God heals the sick. Let me hear that more. Don't strengthen fear in your life. Don't strengthen doubt in your life. Strengthen the faith of God in your life. There's something the old Christians used to call feed your faith. F.F. Bosworth said, some of us feed our spirit man or spirit man a cold snack once every day, and we hope to become strong as believers. A cold snack, just a verse of scripture, or you hear the word by the side. No. You need to build yourself. When Paul says, be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6 and 10. And in the power of his might. It's your action. Be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. Take unto yourself the whole armor of God. He used that statement in the present continuous. Keep wearing it. Hallelujah. Feed your mind on these realities. Every day, feed your mind on it. Lo, I'm with you always. Behold, look at it always. Look at it all the time. In 1 John 3 and 1. Behold, what manner of love. It is a feel what manner of love. He said, behold it. Look at it in the word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah. I need to see it in the word every day. So to live supernaturally every day, I need to behold the word every day. Every day. Every time I hear that instruction, it is for now. Don't just preach it to others. No. Act on it for yourself. But then sister gave this illustration years back. She said, many of us are like cooks or chefs. You make food for everybody. And a lot of humans do that. And then you only taste. The people have food say, how was the food? Say, it was good. Are you sure? Say, it's fine. Actually, the only time you taste it is when you are preparing it. You don't even eat in it. Whereas, those that you served will be full of it. If all you do is study the scriptures for others to know it, you only be tasting it. No brother, no sister. Eat it first by yourself. Eat it for yourself. Even if you're a preacher, if I'm studying, for example, for a sermon, and I tell you often, I tell you some of the things that happen, and I'm studying and I'm getting ready to teach. There are times I just stop in the room and I walk around. That's why I usually don't like people around me when I'm studying, because I can do some wild things. I drop the Bible and I just go, wow. I'm lifting my hands, I'm thanking God. I'm saying it to myself. I tell people in Bible schools and those who I teach for ministry that preach it first to yourself. To yourself. Let it come to yourself first. You have a signboard. Feed it on yourself. By yourself. I'm what he says I am. And I'm who he says I am. And begin to say, what exactly are you? Who are you? Feed on that indwelling presence of God every day. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm with you always. Glory to God. I don't have to feel it. No, I don't have to feel it. I only have to look at it again. Glory to God. Glory to God. That means I'm strong inside. That means I'm confident inside. Hallelujah. That means I am undefeated. And I cannot be overcome from inside. Because he's with me. I may not feel it. Don't get used to playing music all the time. You play music. Some of you like playing music. You say, then you are deceived that the sound coming out is God's spirit. You are being fooled. You are living an experience. Oh. You say, the spirit of God, you know, I just had it. And then you didn't have any encounter. You only had an encounter with good music. Don't get used to music. Just singing music. They said, my room was filled. There's nothing in your room. The greater one is in you. Music or no music, the greater one is in you. Hallelujah. To every day, feed on this fact. Put it first place in your thoughts. Glory to God. First place in your thoughts. I told you, as a younger boy, I used to be very shy. Extremely shy. My dad told me, he said, I couldn't imagine that you were going to preach the gospel. Till he died, he believed I was an introvert. And many people do not know that I could be an extremely private person. They think, he likes, you know. My dad said, I know you. I get birthday, I know you. Because I used to be extremely shy. One time like that in my primary school, they said to me that some people wanted to confront me. I said, and I was crying. They didn't, girls, oh. No, I'm not saying that to put down. They said, you said this. I said, no. Even after I got born again, they asked me to come and share God's word. They had been telling me to come and preach. I was dodging. Said, no, you're not going anywhere. You are going to preach. I said, for how long? I said, 15 minutes. 15 minutes. So I prepared a long sermon that was going to read Psalm 119. I said, 118. By the time I finish reading Psalm 118, 10 minutes will have gone. Then I'll pray a long prayer. Father Lord, let us pray, brethren, that this sermon, God will speak to us from the throne of God. I thought that by the time I prayed for that 5 minutes, I read, the sermon will just be 1 minute. That was the day the sun or the earth stopped. I read the verses. 2 minutes. I prayed my prayer. 2 minutes. All my special number. 2 minutes. There was still time. I said, see trouble. Throughout the sermon, I was looking down. Brethren, salvation is real, oh. Sanctification. I said, I preach salvation, sanctification, and holiness. Holiness. Let us be holy. Let us be holy. And the time did not move. I said, what kind of punishment is this, oh God? Hallelujah. But as I grew on to feed on the word, and it's the greater one. He subsumes my personality into himself. Hallelujah. Even though I'm shy, the greater one is bold. Hallelujah. Even though I'm not a good talker, but when he takes over my speech, glory to God, I become supernatural, naturally. So, look away from your personality. We have taken on the personality of Jesus. Hallelujah. Luke 24:49. He says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. He said, you put on power from on high. I send the promise of my Father upon you. You put on power from on high. He used the word NGO. Wear it like a garment. Hallelujah. Wear it like a garment. Wear it like a garment. Glory to God. Glory to God. Evil cannot overpower me. Say that to yourself. Satan has no hold over me. Hallelujah. I overcome day in, day out. In the name of Jesus. Because Christ Jesus is with me. He's with me. He's with me. Glory to God. Lo, I'm with you always. All the time. All the time. So how often should that consciousness be with me? All the time. All the time. All the time. Don't run from the devil. Run at the devil. We are not on the defensive. We are on the offensive. Run at the devil. Hallelujah. So say, what if it's like I'm making big boasts? If I make a big boast, I got a big God to back it up. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So to live supernaturally every day, feed supernaturally every day. There are times you shut yourself in. And you feed on the truth of the word of God. I tell people oftentimes, when you watch the things that slip up from your mouth, observe how you talk. When you watch it and see that you've been talking contrary to God's word, it's time to shut in for some time. Spend a night or two nights, sometimes a whole day. Just feed on the word. Feed on these truths. Think through it. Don't prepare a sermon. Don't call someone and preach. No! Shut the door. And feed on the word of God. He said, "Lo, I am with you always." And he said, "The greater one is in me. Christ is in me." Colossians 1:27. He said, "Christ is in you. The hope of all of the glory of God." Hallelujah. 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 Don't talk like the world. Don't talk like everybody. Don't talk so that they won't think that you are being proud. No. When you are talking supernatural, you are talking normally. Glory to God. Normally. I'll close here. Years back, this was very early. I was barely a year or two in ministry then. I had this group of guys that we used to serve God together. Some of them are great guys. They're still in different places. And so I used to say to them that I would never fall. So they felt I was boasting. You know, those kind of things you say, and everybody will be quiet when you say it. And then when you leave, they'll say, "Ah, what's that nonsense? What does he mean?" So I said it so often that they now had a prayer meeting for me. They were praying for me. Five of them. Six of them. And they were praying. So I got into the house of one of them, the person who was hosting the prayer meeting. I heard them shout my name loud. "Lord, we commit this. Every pride in his heart, Lord, remove it." So I got inside. And I laughed. I heard them mention my name. One of them opened his eyes, saw me. He said, "Ah." I said, "Brian, so wasting your time." In the prayer meeting. I said, "Pray for yourselves. Like I said, I'm never going to fall." I wasn't bragging on myself. I was bragging on the greater one. Hallelujah. He puts me over. He thinks through my mind. He speaks through my mouth. He sees through my eyes. My personality is subsumed in his power. The greater one is in me. 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 I don't bow to challenges. I take them on and I overcome them by the power of the Spirit of God. Christ is in me. Christ is in me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Talk in other tongues. Come on.